Thank you. Hello, everyone. Good morning. I'm really, really grateful to be here this morning. It was quite a drive yesterday. I drove in from Dallas, so I'm rested and ready to just share my heart for Moldova. So like Pastor said, I'm Ashley Garcia. I am a missionary in Chișinău, Moldova. I always like to start off my messages by asking, who knows where Moldova is on the map? Pretty much no one. That's okay. That's the answer I get at a lot of churches that I visit. Moldova is often confused for Mongolia or Genovia from the Princess Diaries, or it's confused for some made-up country in a Hallmark movie during Christmas. But it's a very, very real country. I have a picture of Moldova on the map. It's located between Ukraine and Romania. It's a beautiful country. People often ask me, what is Moldova like? So I put together some pictures to just kind of show y'all what the scenery is like in Moldova. It's a very beautiful country. In the summertime, it's colorful. It's full of flowers, sunflowers that are like the size of my head. It's wild. And then in the fall, the colors of the leaves are changing. It's beautiful. In the spring, you hear the birds, and it's a beautiful, quiet, slow-paced country. And that was a lot for me growing up in the city and having to go from being in a rush all the time to going into a country where it's like, no, we just kind of go with the flow. So in Moldova, our population is about 3.4 million people, but that number is decreasing every year. Because it's simply because no one wants to stay in Moldova. The reality is that Moldova is the poorest country in Europe. The average monthly salary is a little above $300 a month, so kind of just let that sink in for a while. Imagine trying to live off of $300 a month. Most people want to move abroad and get out of poverty. They have no hope in their country. They feel like Moldova is just the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. They don't see a future or a hope for their country, but I do. And it's one of the reasons that I left my American dream to go and live in the poorest country in Europe. Before I share about the ministry that I do in Moldova, I always want to start off by just sharing a little bit about my personal journey and how I was called to the mission field. The truth is, I was once sitting in a service like this when God called me to the mission field, so it's very important for me to share my personal testimony of just being called. I'm also very relational and intentional. I don't know how that happened because I grew up shy, but somehow I love people and I love relationships and I love getting to know people more. And so I want y'all to get to know me more before I share about all of the great things in Moldova. Because I truly believe that there is power in our stories and powers in our testimonies. And so I want to share a little bit of that this morning. So my story begins with me being born to teen parents. I was not planned. My parents were barely trying to figure life out for themselves when I came along. Before I was born, my mom tells me that she had people telling her, there's no way that you can be a teen mom. They were whispering lies to my very pregnant mother. They were telling her that abortion was the only solution to this problem that she was carrying. So the moment that I was being formed and created in my mother's womb, the enemy was already out to destroy my life. Thankfully, my mom chose life, and she continues to choose life. And thankfully, I grew up with a grandmother who was a praying grandmother who covered me in prayer and took me to church every Sunday. I think she's probably watching online. I sent her the link and told her, watch me online. I know Jesus because of my grandma. And I'm so, so thankful for praying grandmothers. So those of you who are grandmothers who are praying, keep on praying because those prayers, it's beautiful what the Lord can do with those prayers. So at the age of 9 years old, I accepted Jesus into my life. I loved seeing your grandson up here. It's just, I love it. This was how I was in church. I was constantly running up and down the aisles. And so at the age of 9, I accepted Jesus into my life. And at the age of 10, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so you see, church, the enemy was out to destroy my life. but greater was he that created me than he who was in the world. I had no idea the plan that God had for my life. At the age of 9, I just simply decided that I would spend the rest of my life being obedient to the Lord. And so at the age of 15, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Ashley, start a Bible club at your high school, my very public, secular high school in the middle of Dallas. And so I struggled with the Lord, and I said, okay, God, I'll start it, but everything has to fall into place. And the moment that it doesn't, I'm out. Like, I can't do this. I'm shy, remember? And so little did I know, that was really the seed that was planted in missions. I've always had a passion for storytelling, and that's simply what missions is. It's sharing the good news. It's storytelling. It's sharing the gospel. And so at the age of 18, I decided to pursue a career in journalism at Texas State University. And while I was there, I became involved in a Christian organization called Chi Alpha. I know Pastor said there's quite a few of you who were part of student ministries or part of Chi Alpha when y'all were in college. And I love student ministry. It's the heart of it's my heart. It's where I see the Lord thriving and doing beautiful, beautiful things on university campuses. And so at the age of 19, I was at a Chi Alpha service, and that's really where the Lord spoke missions clearly over my life. And I'm going to be honest, I did not say yes right away because I felt like this is a huge change in what I was doing. And so it's about 10 years ago now, I was sitting in a service very similar to this one. I was serving on the media team, clicking through all the pro presenter slides and worship slides. And we had a missionary guest speaker by the name of Renee West. She came and was sharing her story of serving in Argentina. And so I remember as she's sharing her story, I was like, wow, like she's really good at storytelling. And I remember being fully engaged in every word she said. I didn't want to miss anything that she said. And so as she's going through her message, I'm sitting in the back in the booth in tears. And I began to cry, and it wasn't just like a teardrop here and there, it was like tears. And so I stepped out because I didn't want anyone to see, like, this lady was making me cry. And so I get up from my seat and I go to the back and I close the door, and I'm just outside praying and asking the Lord, what in the world are you doing? This is not me, this is the Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking the Lord, what are you doing in my heart right now? I need to know. And so you see, I always thought that missions was for other people. I never thought that it was for me. I thought missions was for the older man or the older woman. I grew up in a predominantly Hispanic church, and so I rarely saw any Hispanic missionaries that looked like me. So I thought missions is certainly not for me. I grew up in the rougher parts of Dallas. There's no way that God would call someone like me to the mission field. I thought missions was only for those who went to Bible school and were super spiritual. I thought missions was for people who did not have complicated backgrounds like mine. I thought missions was for everyone else except for me. And so in that moment of prayer of me asking, Lord, what in the world are you doing in my heart right now? The word missions, missions, missions kept filling my heart and my soul. And I was just like, no, God, that absolutely not. You should have spoke missions a year ago before I committed the next 4 years of my life to Texas State. And so I sat there with the Lord, wrestling with him, and I was just like, I can't do that, God. My family background is complicated. There's no missionaries that look like me or come from the same backgrounds as me. And so my response to the Lord was, I'm studying to be a journalist. There's absolutely no way that I can use my journalism degree on the mission field. I kept finding excuse after excuse after excuse to say no to God. And my heart was still unsettled. Tears just kept flowing more and more as I kept saying no. So I knew, okay, for the sake of feeling at peace and going back into that service, I'll be obedient, God. Missions kept filling my mind and my heart and my soul. And so finally, I surrendered and I said, okay, God, I'll be open to missions, but I'm not going to go searching for countries that need missionaries. I won't be completely against it. You have to speak clearly to me and you have to open the door, because honestly, I thought, God, is it India or Africa that you're sending me to? Because I don't know about living in a jungle or overpopulated country, but if that's where you want me to go, I'll go. And so later that night, I go back into the service and I go up to this missionary and I can ask her any question that I could think of. And so a million questions are running through my mind. I'm studying to be a journalist, so I ask questions for a living. And so the question that I simply decided to ask her was, what did you major in when you were in college? And she said, oh, broadcast journalism. And so it was almost like in that moment, God was just looking down at me with his arms crossed, just smiling and saying, you see, I told you so. And so I went home that night just completely blown away by what the Lord was doing. And so for 6 months, I prayed fervently. I fasted. I was asking the Lord, you are doing something in my heart. I have no idea what it is, but I know that this is not of me. It is of you. And so for 6 months, I didn't speak to anyone about what God was doing in my heart. And that was hard because I'm relational, right? I want people to pray for me and I wanted people to know what God was doing. But I also did not want anyone to persuade me one way or the other. I needed to hear directly from God, not from man. So for 6 months, I'm praying and I'm fasting and seeking the Lord for an answer. And still nothing. The Lord is silent. And I'm just like, okay, God, like, this is frustrating. I want to know where you want to send me. I'm a planner and I'm an organizer. So I was ready to get on phone calls and emails and research all that I could research about the country where God was sending me to. But as I look back on that time, I'm thankful for those 6 months of just being silent, of the Lord being silent. Because it was in those moments that he was preparing and shaping and molding my heart for a country that I had no idea of at the time. And so fast forward 6 months after, I'm at a leadership conference with Chi Alpha, and we took a trip to DFW for a leadership retreat. And while we're at this retreat, it's the very last session where I walk in and I go in and sit at the front, and this couple walks in. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess they look like missionaries. And so I grabbed a seat in the front, and they start sharing their heart about this country that I've never heard of. They did the whole asking, where is Moldova on a map? And I was sitting there like, I have no idea. They shared about wanting to plant a student ministry in the capital city. They shared about the dangers of human trafficking in this country. They shared about how this country is the poorest country in Europe and no one goes there for fun. No one goes there to do ministry. They shared about needing more people to join their team. And the entire time that they're speaking, I'm just sitting in my chair, like swaying back and forth because the Holy Spirit said, that is the place where you are going. Moldova is what you have prayed for. And I'm going to be honest, I was just like, yes, Lord, I'll go. But at the same time, I was like, is it a closed country? Like, what religion are they? Like, none of those things crossed my mind. It was just, in that moment, I knew Moldova was the place that God was sending me to. And so this rush of excitement comes over me because I've been spending 6 months praying and asking the Lord, where do you want to send me? And so I go up to these missionaries and I just pour out my heart to them. I don't even know them. And I'm telling them all of these things that I have prayed for 6 months. I've shared pretty much everything I shared with y'all. And they were just looking at me like waiting for me to shut up. And so I told them, I said, I'm studying journalism. I have no idea how I can use this on the mission field, but this is what I'm studying. I'm hoping that I can use my degree in ministry. And I mean, I didn't even know these people, but I felt like they needed to know everything that I was treasuring up in my heart. And so finally, when I stopped talking, they said, Ashley, we have been praying for someone specifically with media experience to join our team. Their prayer was so specific to the Lord. They had all of these ideas and plans about what they wanted to do in Moldova, but they absolutely had no idea how to write or edit or publish things. And in that moment, I had no idea that media was just the gateway of spreading the gospel. So it was in that moment that I knew that I knew that I knew in my heart that that was the place that God was calling me to. And I can't tell you that for the next 2 years, I did not continuously wrestle with the Lord, because I did. I decided to pour myself into journalism. I wanted to learn all that I could learn so I could take it back with me to the mission field. I saved books and notes and attended sessions and conferences, specifically by journalists who were working overseas. I wanted to know their stories. I've always had a passion for storytelling, and that passion has landed me in incredible places. In 2016, I had an internship with NBC5 in Dallas, and this was a dream job of mine since I was a child. I was so invested in this internship, and my team was also invested in me. A few months after, before my internship was over, the HR manager came up to me and she said, "Ashley, will you consider applying to NBC when you graduate from college next spring?" And it was such a rare opportunity. Dallas is considered one of the top 5 media markets, and so you have to start off in smaller cities like San Angelo in order to work yourself up to Dallas. And so it takes journalists years to land a job like this. They typically work themselves up, but here I was, NBC was wanting to hire me. And so I went to the Lord confused. I loved journalism and I could see myself thriving in that industry, but there was also this passion and desire for Moldova that was tugging at my heart. And so the next week at NBC, I'm asking the Lord, "What do I do? I have no, like, this is a dream job and a rare opportunity, God. Like, I could see everything here that I could do, but in Moldova, I don't even know what I would do there, Lord. It's unclear." So I walk into the newsroom later that week, and just this rush of anxiety swept over me. I've never experienced anxiety like I did in that moment. It was like I could see every image magnified. It's like I was kind of frozen standing in the middle of the room and I could hear every sound. I could hear the phones ringing and ringing and ringing. I could hear every voice all at once. And then I could see all of the hundreds of TVs that circled around the room. I've never experienced anxiety and I knew that's what it was. And I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly tell me, "This anxiety will only continue to grow if you stay here." I knew that I would be so invested in my career that I would probably lose my faith. I saw it happen over and over and over again among my coworkers. I heard story after story of people telling me that being a Christian in that industry was a weakness. They would do anything to work themselves up to the top. They were so invested in their career and they wanted to be the best of the best, even if that meant crushing all of the little people on their way up. Being on a team was a weakness. And then the whole fake news era was beginning at the time, and no one trusted journalism anymore. And so I knew that that was not what God was calling me to. I thrived working with others, and I did not want to hide my faith because other people might be offended. And so I walked away from that opportunity and I told them I'm not gonna put in an application, and people thought I was crazy. A lot of my friends were like, "I would do anything to have an opportunity like that." In journalism school, they taught us and made us memorize code of ethics. And so one of the principles that I'll have behind me says to seek the truth and report it. And then we were always told to give a voice to the voiceless. I'm thankful for what I learned in journalism school. So these two principles, I turned them around and viewed them through the lens of a missionary. I knew the truth. I knew Jesus. I knew the good news. And it was my responsibility to go out and share this good news. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is a verse that you've probably heard a lot of missionaries share. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We missionaries read this verse over and over and over again, and we preach on this verse because we firmly believe in these last words that Jesus speaks on earth. When the Lord says to, when I viewed this principle of giving a voice to the voiceless, that's what I do in Moldova. When I first went to the mission field in 2018, these verses, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, were so ingrained in my DNA. 97% of Moldovans claim to be Orthodox Christians, But that number is decreasing more and more and more among young adults because they want nothing to do with religion. Corruption runs so deep in Eastern European politics and especially in the religion. I see so many young adults running away from religion because they're not taught the truth. Moldovans are taught to confess their sins to a priest, and if they have nothing to confess, then God's going to punish them. Moldovans are taught to pay money for prayers, and if they have multiple people that they need to pray for, that number increases, the cost increases for each prayer. Moldovans are taught that the priests must come by and bless their dead ancestor's grave every spring by saying a specific prayer over that grave. When I asked a friend of mine, why does the priest do this? Why do you do this every spring? And she said, I don't know. This is just what we do. Our ancestors did it, and so we do it too. Moldovans are taught that these rituals are the only way to experience the love of God. The thing that always breaks me the most is knowing that Moldovans are taught to stay away from evangelical Christians because they're taught that we are a cult. So as you can imagine, my first conversation with the local is not, let me tell you about Jesus, because they run the other way. I've seen it happen. I first have to go to the Lord in prayer, and I have to ask him to break down these barriers that these people have put up. I have to gain their trust and their friendship, and it is not easy. I feel like ministering in Moldova is difficult because they have no confidence in themselves. So you can tell young women, like, you're so beautiful, like God has plans for you, and you have purpose, and you have a calling. And they're just looking at you straight face like, you're lying. Like, no, I don't. And so it's having to go through that every single day and telling them, like, God does have purpose. You do have a calling. And they're just like, no, why would God ever want anything to do with someone like me? So after a while, the conversation about faith just comes up naturally. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And it's usually by them saying, Ashley, why are you so nice? Why do you smile a lot? Why do you keep wanting to take me out for coffee? People would tell me, that's weird, Ashley. Moldovans don't even ask each other out for coffee, and you come here and you want to have coffee with me? And so when they ask me these questions, I tell them how there's this book that shapes a lot of my values. And their interests are piqued. They're like, well, what is this book? I want to know where you get these values from. And so they begin to see the passion. They begin to see how passionate I am about investing in young people. They begin to see that I want to invest in the next generation because I believe that they're the leaders that are going to impact and change that country. The reality is that a large portion of the capital city, Chisinau, is filled with students and young adults. It's basically like a San Angelo. I'm assuming there's a lot of college students in this town. And yet these young adults are often overlooked. No one cares to invest in them. No one chooses to sit down with them and genuinely hear about their struggles and their victories. Because Moldova is the poorest country in Europe, foreigners are not quick to jump on a plane and vacation there. So as an American, you can imagine the number of times I'm asked, why are you here? I've lived there for 3 years and they still ask me, why are you here? So in 2018, my team and I opened up a student ministry center in the heart of the city, and we called it Chi Alpha Moldova. I come from Chi Alpha, and so I believe so strongly in the values of Chi Alpha and what Chi Alpha stands for, and it has been such a privilege of mine to go and repeat that in another country. So extracurricular activities and organizations and sororities, fraternities, all those things that I had fun on campus with are prohibited in Moldova. Students are taught to only go to school and go back home. They're not encouraged to have community or socialize with others. So opening up this student center in the heart of the city is like a shock for these students. But it's through that ministry center that we're able to connect one-on-one with them. We're able to minister to 800 young adults per month. We're able to show them what community looks like. We're able to feed them 3 hot meals a week. And I'm able to show them that an American girl all the way from Texas gave up the American dream because I believe so strongly in investing in them and showing them who Jesus is. And so one of the ways that we're able to connect with students is through our weekly attraction clubs. We literally find whatever students are interested in and turn that into a small group. We've had things like a media club, baking club, fitness club. We've had an Italian club. I don't even know how. I was not leading that one, but it was very, very fruitful. We have a public speaking club. So a lot of young people right now are interested in leadership. They're interested in public speaking. And so we're able to turn that into a small group and use the Bible to show them these disciples, they also were public speakers. Look what they did. And so they're invested and they're interested. And then my favorite club is the English club. I always tell people English is the gateway to sharing the gospel among young adults in Moldova. Moldovan students want not only to learn English, but they want to practice English with an American. No one goes there on vacation, right? So they want to sit down and practice their English with me. I do not have my degree in English, so they'll come asking me, like, why do you say this in English, like the rules and the grammar? And I'm like, I don't know, we just do. Like, I don't know, like, stay in school and they'll tell you, but I just want to speak in English. I don't know why we say the things we do. So during my first term, I began meeting with a young girl named Marcella. Those of you who were at the Bloom Missions tour last week heard me share a little bit about her. But she is a girl that I am just so passionate, and I love sharing her story because she's the very first girl that I discipled in Moldova. She came from an Orthodox background. Both of her parents were not physically involved in her life, and this is the norm in Moldova. So parents often leave their kids behind in Moldova, and they go off to other parts of Europe to go work and make more money. And so a lot of times, young girls and young boys fall into human trafficking. Their parents are not there to physically provide for them. They send money back and forth to their kids, but their kids are kind of on their own. So kids in Moldova are very, very mature for their age, not because they want to, it's because they kind of have to. They have to grow up. And so Marcella was one who her parents left her. Her mom was working in Israel, and her dad was working in another village. And so she kind of had to learn to pay bills at the age of like 19 or 20. She had to learn how to care for her brother. And so when she moved to the city to go to university, she had no one. This was her first time in the city. She had no family there. She had no community. And so when I first met her, she was extremely shy. She was very skeptical, and she barely said a word to me. She was always in the back, and I grew up very shy. So I was like, oh, I know that you're in the back because you don't want anyone to talk to you, but I'm going to go and talk to you because people went and talked to me when I was in the back, and so I'm going to do the same thing. And so she barely said a word to me, though, and the reason that she barely said a word was because she was taught that Americans are superior. Moldovans are viewed as inferior. She didn't feel worthy enough to have a conversation with me. She would often say, you're American, though, Ashley. Like, why do you keep wanting to talk to me? Why don't you talk with the other Americans? And I would tell her, I'm not here for the other Americans. I'm here for the Moldovans. And so my team and I kept inviting her to different events that we had at our ministry center. And I was also very persistent with her. I was texting. It was kind of low-key, not stalking, because I never went to her house, but I mean, I was texting her and telling her, like, I hope you have a great day today, and she was just like, you're so weird, Ashley. Like, why are you doing this? Like, you're so nice. And so I would tell her, like, I just want to be friends with you. Like, I know that we could be great friends. And she would say, well, I can't really meet with you because I don't really know English, and what are we going to talk about? And so I told her, that's okay. Like, you can speak in Romanian, and I'll figure it out. It's fine. And so I was constantly making sure that she would see that this American did not view her as less than. I wanted her to know that I cared about texting her and telling her, like, I hope you have a great day. I hope we see you tonight at our ministry center. And eventually she was like, okay, I think I'm going to give you a chance. And so a few of these barriers finally came falling down, and she was becoming more and more open. And so there was a couple times where she would text me back and say, I hope you have a great day too. And it was progress. I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere, Lord. And so I just began praying for her daily. I knew that there was a reason that the Holy Spirit was leading me to her. And I could tell that she was becoming curious about who we were. I think deep down, she knew that I was a Christian, but she did not want to ask because she knew, once I find out you're a Christian, then that's it. Like, I can't hang out with you anymore. She knew that she would have to disconnect from us because of her Orthodox faith. And so she never asked. And so a few moments and a few months go on, and I began to develop this trust with her. So she finally feels comfortable enough to go with me to the coffee shop and to the market. And we rode the trolley one time, and it was like packed up with like sardines. And I was like, I don't know how y'all do this on a daily basis, but here I am. And so I began to just develop a friendship with her, and I could see that she trusted me a little more. And so I began to feel the Holy Spirit say, Ashley, read the Bible with her. Read the Bible with her. And I was very fearful because I knew that she was Orthodox, and I knew that the priests were the only ones who read the Bible. I knew that the moment she found out that I was Christian, that she would probably feel like she had to disconnect from me. And so I knew the road ahead of me was going to be challenging, but I was like, okay, Lord, the only thing she can say is no. And so one day we're having a one-on-one, we're having lunch at our ministry center, and before I left, I told her, I said, Marcella, I think by now you know I'm a Christian. And she's like, yeah, I do. And I told her, I can see that you're curious about who I am, you're curious about my values, you keep asking me all of these questions, and I'd like to meet with you weekly to read this book where I get my values from. And I want to have conversations with you about faith and my values in the Bible. And so I was literally fearful for nothing. She said, okay, when do you want to meet? And so for the next 6 months, she comes to my apartment every Friday morning. And we started reading. We went through a Bible study called Seamless by Angie Smith. And so she thought it was the coolest thing to have her own Bible study book. And so we go through the Bible study for 6 months, and it goes through the entire Bible, and it talks about how from Genesis to Revelation, it's just a seamless story that's all connecting to Jesus. She would come to my apartment with a lot of questions. I could see that in the Old Testament, she knew that God was someone to fear. She knew a lot of the stories in the Old Testament. She knew all of the traditions and things that she could not do and things she could do. She saw that God was someone to fear, but then when we get to the New Testament, it's like it was completely transforming for her. She knew nothing about salvation. She knew nothing about the birth and life of Jesus, and she knew nothing about the unconditional love of God, of love of Jesus. She knew nothing about discipleship. So we continued going deeper and deeper in the Word, and she was frustrated. I could see that she was frustrated and upset that she knew none of these stories. And so during one of our Bible studies, I felt the Holy Spirit asking me to invite her into salvation. It took a few months before that for everything to just kind of click for her. She would sit there like, I don't understand this. Like, why would Jesus die? Like, I don't get it. And so I prayed, I was like, Lord, please give her a supernatural understanding and wisdom because I can't make it make sense for her. And eventually it just all kind of clicked and I could see it. And she would say, that's why you're here in Moldova, Ashley. Not because you actually like Moldovans, but because that's what the Bible says, like go and make disciples of all nations. And I would tell her, no, yes, but I do like Moldovans. And it just worked out that way. And so she gets come into my apartment one Friday morning, and I felt the Holy Spirit. I was in prayer, and the Holy Spirit said, today's the day of salvation. And so I told her, I said, Marcella, we've been going through the Bible for a while now, and I can see that it's making sense for you. And I just want you to know that Jesus is not only for Americans. Jesus is not only for me. You can also experience this same joy that I have. And so I tell people everywhere I go that I have never seen someone so excited about salvation. She was jumping up and down in her seat, and she said, "Yes, Ashley, I do want to accept Jesus." So we prayed together, and it was just in that moment after, it was completely life-changing for her. After we finished praying, she said, "Is that it?" And I was thinking, I was trying to keep it short, like, you're kind of new to all of this. But it was in that moment that she realized that she now had access and authority to Jesus. She no longer had to go through the priest. She no longer had to go through the Orthodox Church. She quickly recognized her identity and her purpose. And when I first met her, she was just like, "I'm just going to finish school and I'm leaving this country. I want nothing to do with Moldova." And as she just began to be part of our ministry and grew in our ministry, eventually she got to the point where she was like, "I think I want to stay." She recognized that she was now bearing that responsibility to go out and make another disciple. She had access to Jesus, and she wanted her own people to know Jesus. Choosing to follow Jesus was not easy for her. She had opposition from her family. Her mom would tell her that she needed to stop hanging out with us. Her brother thought that she was insane when she mentioned that she wanted to be baptized in water, but she pressed forward anyway. In December of 2021, I was back in Moldova, and Marcella waited a whole year for me to be in the country so that I could be next to her as she made that commitment to be baptized in water. It was so, so beautiful. At that time, she was also discipling a young girl who was also curious about Jesus. Every week, Marcella would meet with a young girl named Daniela. They went through a Bible study together. Marcella basically repeated everything that she was taught and poured that into this young girl. On Monday nights, we have a worship service where we strategically invite students who are open to hearing about Jesus. And then on Wednesdays, we have a discipleship group, small groups, where we go deeper into the Bible. And so both Marcella and Daniela were part of these Monday night services and Bible studies. And on one Wednesday night, our leaders were discussing salvation, and Daniela was like, "Yeah, I want to accept Jesus." You see, the gospel was simple for Daniela. It wasn't as difficult as it was for Marcella. It took some work with Marcella, but it was simple for Daniela. She recognized her need for a savior, and that was that. She was like, "Yeah, I face opposition from my family, but this is my choice, and I'm going to say yes to Jesus." And so last spring, Daniela made the decision to be baptized in water, and we celebrated her decision. We are all about celebrating. We have, before our discipleship groups begin every semester, we have a big old party, and it's great. And then at the end, we have like a graduation ceremony. And so these students, that's what they're used to. They're used to parties and celebrating. So that's what we did when Daniela got baptized. We had a big old party for her. And I have a picture here where it's just beautiful for me to see just the power of sowing seeds. As a leader and as a missionary, I go out and I sow seeds and I talk with Moldovans and plant these seeds, and I often don't get to see them grow. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has allowed me to witness the power of planting a seed. You see, I don't know those seeds that I have sown, what's going on with them. Only the Lord knows, and I believe that when I am in eternity, I'll get to see the power of planting seeds. Marcella continues to disciple young women. Just a couple weeks ago, she was at church and she was up giving the announcements and praying over the service, which was just a huge deal for her. She's so involved in our church. I spoke to her just a couple weeks ago, and she's also going through a Bible study, this same Bible study with another girl who's curious about faith. And so our ministry in Moldova is just continuing to thrive. For the past 6 years, we've been able to train and disciple and raise up a new generation of young adults. And many of them kept asking us, "When are y'all starting a church?" You see, they're used to parties and celebrations, and then they go into other churches in the capital, and it's just kind of like, not like that. And so they would tell us, we just don't feel comfortable in those other churches. Like, when are y'all gonna start a church? And so it was always a plan that was always in our like five-step plan of missions was to start a church. And we were barely like on step three of this five-step plan that we have for Moldova. And we prayed and realized we need to speed this up. And so it just was clear the Lord opened doors. And so in 2021, we planted Genesis Church. We are the very first bilingual church in Moldova where we're able to minister in English and in Romanian. And I have the great privilege of being the associate pastor of this church. And so I tell people, our church is filled with atheists and agnostics, Orthodox and Christians, and it's wild to me. It's wild to me that I would go to church on Sunday and an atheist is helping to serve and prepare a meal for us. And so I often ask my atheist friends, why do you come here? Like, we invite them, and they're like, okay, sure, I'll go. There's so much power in an invitation in Moldova. And so I ask them, why? Like, you have shared with me that you don't believe in God, but we're a church. Like, we are Genesis Church. And so their response when I ask them that is, they say, it's because there's community here. You all accept me as I am, and I don't feel like I have to be any different with y'all. And so time and time again, these young men and women, it's just so funny to me. They claim to be atheists, and they're like, I want nothing to do with God. And then slowly but surely, they're at a Bible study. They're at a Monday night worship service. They're at church on Sunday mornings. And I'm like, so much for not believing in God and wanting nothing to do with God. But they say over and over again, like, you all accept me. You're willing to listen to me and ask me questions about why I'm an atheist. And a lot of times, it's just simply because there's no relationship. They feel like there's no hope, and they have no hope in themselves, and that transfers over into their faith. And so when they see that we accept them like Jesus did, they're like, okay, I think I'm willing to give this a shot. So we include them. We sit with them. We listen to them for hours, talk about science and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, Lord, I am going crazy listening to this guy, but I'm going to sit here because I want him to know that I care very deeply for him, and I'm going to listen, and I'm not going to shut him out. We simply live life with them the way that Jesus lived life with his disciples. We live life with them the way that Jesus lived with the tax collectors. We live life with them the way that Jesus lived with the fishermen. And we live life with them the way that Jesus lived life with the outcasts and the rejects. And so I have so many stories of God's faithfulness in Moldova, and it's always hard to narrow it down to maybe one or two. And I could probably be here all afternoon sharing, but I won't. I want to leave you all with a challenge this morning, though. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Every single one of you in this room who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior bears the responsibility of being a witness and being a missionary where you are. Your Jerusalem is where you are now. It's here in San Angelo, Texas. It's in your families. It's in your homes. Your Judea and your Samaria are a little outside of your Jerusalem. It's in your communities. It's in your churches. It's in your workplaces. It's in your schools. Not all of us can travel overseas, but I always tell people your mission field is where your feet are planted right now. Earlier I said that missions to me is simply storytelling. It's sharing the good news. It's sharing the gospel. It's taking someone alongside you and showing them this is what the gospel is. This is who Jesus is. And so the reason that I started off sharing my personal story is because I believe there's power in our words, in our testimonies, in our stories. Jesus is one of the greatest storytellers of all times. He recognized the power of stories, and it's why he spoke to his disciples in parables. The story of the gospel will always have the power to change lives. You don't have to be on a plane 6,000 miles away in a small country of Moldova. You don't have to be out in the middle of a jungle in Africa. You don't have to be in an overpopulated country in India. You simply have to only go outside these church walls. Not all of you may be called to physically go to the ends of the earth, but I want to challenge you all to pray for those of us who have been called to go to the ends of the earth. It's not easy, but it's through your prayers and your support and your encouragement that helps us move forward in spreading the gospel and spreading the good news. I also want to encourage you all to pray for me as I continue my travels. The goal is to return back to Moldova at the end of this summer, and I realize that's quickly approaching. It's like 5 months. And so I just want to ask you all to pray for me as I continue ministry. The goal is to get there before the fall semester to be with students. So pray for me as I am transitioning again and returning back to the mission field. I will be there for 3 years, which is the longest that I have been in Moldova, 3 consecutive years. And so pray for me. Pray for your missionaries. And thank you all for having me here this morning. I love when I get to travel outside of Dallas and see that there is more to Texas than just churches in Dallas. And so, Pastor, thank you for trusting me this morning with the pulpit and the microphone. It truly is a privilege and an honor to be here with you all. I love sharing my story of missions. And I was telling them last night that it's always so special to me when I get to visit predominantly Hispanic churches, because that's where my heart is. And I didn't see a lot of missionaries that looked like me or had my background or spoken a Spanglish accent, I guess. And so it's just really nice to be here. And I feel very welcomed and I feel like family here. So thank you all. I have a table back there in the back with a QR code for my monthly newsletter that I send out. And if you have any questions or want to know more about Moldova, I'll be back there. So thank you all so much.